in an age of Earth's history when we must remember that Jesus is going to come. There is no doubt about it. The signs are everywhere that we look. And if you look in the book of Matthew 24, when you get a time, Jesus tells us in that book that these things must happen. And he goes through a litany of items that must take place prior to his second coming. And I don't know about you, but I am convinced that we're living in the end of everything that he told us would happen. It has happened. You can go back to the year 1834-33, and even when the stars fell from heaven, you can go back to the time when the day was dark. You can go back, but let's bring it forward. Today, we're living not in the feet of the image of Daniel. We're living in the toenails of the image of Daniel. Everything that Daniel, that dream signified, has already transpired. From head of gold down to the feet, the only thing that has not happened, that is almost ready to happen, is in the vision there was a stone that was cut out without hands, that smote the feet of the image, and it established its own kingdom, and it shall last forever. I don't know where you're sitting in your mind today, but I am anxious for the kingdom of God to come. I want to see him set up his kingdom. I want to see Jehovah become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to see him set on the throne. Then we won't have to worry about any judge, who's going to be judge, whether they're Democrat or Republican. Won't have to worry about what's going to come down the road, because when he sets his kingdom up, it's going to last forever. Can I get an amen in here? And so can I talk a moment about Jesus is the way. Now, when I go through this by God's grace, I just want to tell you that it is evident in this incident, this event that transpired, that the only way that we will get out of here where we are and the predicaments that you and I are living in is by the grace of Yahweh. That's the only way. We didn't get in it by ourselves, and we won't get out of it by ourselves. Jesus is the only way that we're going to leave this earth when he shall come and rejoice with him. I was thinking in the text, it sounds like a bad day for this young lady. After all, the Bible says that Jesus, it was early morning, and he came again, as his custom was, into the temple. I don't know about you, but we need some reformists in the year 2018. We ought to be reformers. We ought to be modern-day reformers. Back in the day, in the 17th and 18th century, I know we've studied it in history about Wycliffe and Jerome and Huss. But we need some modern day Seventh-day Adventists that are Jerome and Huss. We need some people in this church, in this community, in this city that are going to stand up and not follow the wicked ways of the world. We need some people that are willing to stand on the word of God. Come what may, sink or swim, we need to stand for Jesus our Christ. For he is the only way. Doesn't matter the history, it doesn't matter what you've been through, but I'm here to tell you this morning that if you stand with Jesus now, he will stand with you in the judgment. Won't you do it? If you stand with him, he will do that. And this lady, in this passage, in the 8th chapter of John, you will discover that this lady was caught in the act And can I talk about it for a few moments and then close this thing? This lady was caught in the literal act of adultery. Jesus, first of all, you need to understand that Jesus is in the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. The teacher in this church ought not be some preacher. The teacher ought to be Jesus Christ himself. We need to stand on the word of God. And if we do not stand on the word, everything else is going to be sink and sand. Got to stand on it. And we need to learn the word of God. We've got to study the word of God. We need to memorize the word of God. We memorize everything else, but we can't remember the word of God. But the only thing that's going to get us through these dark, dismal, demonic days that we're living in is the word of God. Can I get an amen? That's going to get us through. Nothing else, nothing else. Because you think it is bad now. You ain't seen nothing yet, baby. For the word says the nearer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, things will not get better. Things are going to get worse and worse as we near the second coming of Jesus. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it a year ago when we had good days under my former president? They might have not been the best days, but I'm testifying they sure wasn't as bad as the days are now. They were pretty good days, weren't they? But guess what? This is not as bad as it's going to get. No, it's not. It's going to get worse than it is now. There is no unity in society at all. Our cities have become little Iraqs and Afghanistans. And it does not start out here in the streets of Birmingham. It starts in a house they call white. But there's nothing right in it. And it has impacted this whole community, this whole United States. I thought it was black on black crime. It's just crime on crime. This woman is set up by some messy-minded, mixed-up men. Yeah, that's what the text says. They were trying to trick Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees. These individuals were men that led out in the church, in the temple. They were the leaders, not the followers. They were the leaders. Now, let me say that again. They were the leaders that tried to set up Jesus, my Christ. They tried to set him up. They were trying to trick him. But I'm here to tell you that you can trick some folk sometime, but you can never trick Jesus anytime. And here they are, these leaders of Jerusalem, these leaders, these men had set it up to catch this woman in adultery. This somebody says is Mary Magdalene. Yeah, that's who it is, y'all. It's Mary Magdalene. Don't look down on Mary. Mary was not that bad. And if we put ourselves in her situation, we are not really that bad. Watch. So they get together and they want to set Jesus up, the only one. They want to set him up and trick him. So they set up her to set up Jesus. So Jesus is in the temple and the men are in the room somewhere doing what they do. Leaders doing what they do. Church folk doing, the Pharisees and scribes doing what they do. And the Bible tells us that they set her up so good that they caught her in the act. That means it was not a rumor. They didn't get it off of Facebook. Nobody tweeted it. But she was seen in the act. Now, if you know anything, and the Bible will tell you when you study it, that if you were caught in adultery in those days, you were to be condemned by stoning. That means you were to be stoned to death. And the ones caught you should not have been involved in the setup. Watch. Are you with me? But this woman is caught. The Bible tells us that she was caught and was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, somebody had to be in the room. Somebody was watching. Somebody knew she was going to get there before she got there. And she was set up by the leaders. And so here we are. Are you with me? Here she is. She's caught in the act. And then they drag her in her negligee to the temple, because they knew Jesus was at the temple, as his custom was. He's at the temple. Aren't you glad that Jesus is in this place this day? Some of us in the house need a blessing today. And I'm glad I came looking for a blessing. Because if you come looking for it, God will make sure you get your blessing. In spite of who you're sitting beside, in spite of who's singing the music, God won't give you a blessing. He'll take somebody that means ill for you, that's singing to you, and when they sing, he'll transform the words from their mouths to your ears, and you'll still get a blessing. That's how God works. He's not going to take your blessing and let somebody else mess up your blessing. So here we are. Jesus is there, and they catch this woman in adultery. Say, in adultery. In the very act of adultery. And the men bring her and drop her at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but if I'm caught in something, I want to be dropped at the feet of Jesus. Just drop me at his feet. Don't drop me at the elders' feet. Don't drop me at the preacher's. Don't drop me at the board's feet. Don't drop me at the... Is anybody in here? Don't drop me at Sister Mary's feet or Sister Martha's feet. Drop me at the feet of Jesus. Because all the ground is level at the feet of Jesus. There's no big I's and little U's at the feet of Jesus. No intellectuals and dummies at the feet. Everybody. So they caught in the act, and they drag her to Jesus and drop her at the feet of Jesus on the whitewashed marble. Break up worship because of somebody they set up to get Jesus. They drop her, and it's bad. Don't drop folk at the feet of Jesus, because Jesus knows those that bring them. Oh, come on. Y'all know that, don't you? He does know everybody. Come on. He knew you before there was a you. He knows the end from the beginning and all that's in the middle. Come on, don't drop him. Don't drop him there. That was stupid on their part. So they bring her to Jesus and drop her at the feet of Jesus, and I can almost picture tears running down her cheeks, thinking and not knowing that Jesus is going to let her go. Because when you look at the words in the passage, it will tell you that, for they said unto the master, this woman was taken in the act, in adultery and in the very act. Now Moses in his law. Now first of all, they're crazy. They're not thinking well, because he wrote the law. come on. And you're going to bring and condemn him with the law that he wrote? Something's wrong with that. Can I get a witness? Because I'll tell you, there's a couple of things you need to know about Jesus writing in the ground. For the Bible says right here that they brought him and told Jesus what the law says. And then he says, they say, she should be stoned, but what sayest thou? First of all, if Jesus is Jesus, after you tell him the law, Don't ask him what should be done, because our thoughts are not like his thoughts. And our ways, aren't you glad our thoughts are not like his thoughts? Have you ever been caught in something in your own life and folk condemned you? But God will set you free. Won't he do it? Any free folk in here been set free because of Jesus? Are y'all not holy? Come on now. The word says that they ask and say, what sayest thou? Now they ask him to speak, and this they said, tempting him, the sixth verse, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, look what he does. But Jesus. We ought to have a but Jesus in our experience. But Jesus, I should have been dead. But Jesus. I should have been wiped out. But Jesus. Is there any but Jesuses in here? I should have been hooked on crack. But Jesus. My mama was addicted. But look at me now. But Jesus. Won't he change our situation? Won't he change our lineage just for us? The Bible says, but Jesus. And then it says, but Jesus stooped down. First of all, remember, they dropped her at the feet of Jesus. Jesus will always come down to help sinners. I thought somebody almost jumped out of the pew on that one. I know y'all look holy, but y'all ain't always been holy. Won't he come down? You know you were down. You wasn't even trying to get up. But Jesus came down. Come on. Some of us, he had to go down under stuff to pull us out of stuff. Won't he go down? Help me in here today, somebody. He went down. The Bible said he stooped down. He didn't just go down. He stooped down. He wanted to not be on the sinner's level. He wanted to be on the sinner's level. Come on. He went down, and the word of God says that, and with his finger. Oh, there's something about the finger. Y'all remember, Jesus has not written a lot of times in the Bible. First time he went and used his hands was when he was getting ready to create a perfect man and woman in his image. He stooped. I'm in Genesis for y'all Bible scholars. I'm in Genesis. He stooped in the ground, and he didn't call, say, Adam. No, he said, we're going to create you in our image. He formed them. He fashioned man with his hands. Second time he wrote was when he wrote the Ten Commandments. Here again, and then you remember, he wrote here, and then again, now he's writing. Now, here he's writing. He stoops down and began to deal and write on the ground. That's some preaching in that, y'all. Can I go on and preach that right here? Jesus stoops down, begins to write on the ground. Now you got to understand, it's abnormal for Jesus to write. He hasn't written that many times in the Word of God. He stoops down, sinner is on the ground. The sinner is on the ground. At the feet of Jesus, the Savior now stoops to the ground to meet the sinner on their own level. And the Bible says he began to write in the ground. But when you read the next verse, it text says, as he wrote in the dirt, those that were condemning her abruptly gets up and tucks their tails like dogs and begin to leave. Jesus writes in the dirt. What is he writing in the dirt? Can I answer your question? He wrote backbiter, hypocrite, adulterer, church member. Because all of us, none of us living really right. Oh, yeah, we look right, but we ain't got it like that. And then he keeps writing, and he keeps writing, and he keeps writing. And abruptly the men, do y'all hear me? These old messed up men, can I say it again? I'm one too. We are messed up. And it's interesting to me how we condemn the women, but we want to go free. Now y'all didn't get it. Y'all, I thought I had some women hollering up in here on that one. And some of y'all were victims of that. Even in the save, we will stand the women up front, come on in here, and condemn them and that rascal that we let him go free. So what happens? What happened? Now here's the shouting for y'all. The word says he stooped down and wrote in the dirt. Have you ever thought about why God chose dirt? They were dealing with dirt. Oh, somebody got it. Somebody, y'all ready to shout right now? Can I make you shout right now? They were dealing with dirt, so God decided to write in dirt because that's what was on their mind, was dirt. He was condemning dirt with dirt. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Can I get a witness in the house? That's what he was doing this sound. He was condemning dirt with dirt. And I stopped by to tell somebody in the house that whatever you deal with, God will use what you're dealing in to get you. You want to burn somebody else, the fire will jump back on you. Help me preach up in here today. So he condemns them with dirt, and as though he heard them not. God will not hear some folk talking about you because God really knows you. And we don't have to fight our own battles. We got a God that'll fight our battles. Some of us get bogged down, worried about what other folk thinking about us, and we serve God. You let God deal with the other folk. You just make sure whatever they say about you ain't the truth. Help me in here this afternoon. If we worried about ourselves and let other folk take care of their own business. Old folk used to say that you need to sweep around your own front door and leave mine alone. So here he is now. Here they are. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin, if you've never done anything wrong, if you haven't had an evil look, if you haven't in your clique talked about nobody, if you haven't talked over Sabbath lunch about anybody, then you throw the stone. Throw it. You bad. Throw the stone. Yeah, can't y'all hear him talking to him? Y'all bad. Throw the stone. You ain't done nothing. Throw the stone. And the Bible says they got up and left. Hallelujah. Has anybody in here ever went through something and God stepped into your situation and those that were condemning you wound up leaving? That's a God that we serve. So they left it. And look at Jesus. Now look, he spoke to them first. He said, let him cast the stone at her if you sin less. Throw it. Go on and throw it. You bad. Throw it. And look what happened. And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own consciences, went out one by one, beginning at the elders. Now, old folk, now some stuff we so old we ought to stay out of because we're old. Oh, I can't get a witness in here. I can't get no help in here. There ought to be some things when you get old you just don't do because you're scared you're going to go out before you get a chance to repent. Are there any other old folk in here besides me, myself? There's some stuff I don't even look at no more. Is there anybody in here feel me this afternoon? Some places I ain't going. You can't pay me to. I am not going down like that. God's been too good to me. Can I get a witness in here? Has he been too good for you? And you and you and you? You need to thank God today that you got old. Don't be ashamed of your gray hair. Only reason I ain't got none, I won't gray right no more. You ought to be glad that you're living. Come on in here. Some of the demonic stuff we did, we are blessed and highly favored that we're still alive. Help me in here today, Holy Ghost. I'm helping somebody. We old folk ought to be so happy to come to the church. We don't care what go on. We just glad to be in the house in the presence of God ourselves. Some things when I was young, I used to talk about when I was young in the pulpit. I don't even talk about that no more. God delivered me. I think he can deliver everybody. And if you truth be told, you glad he delivered you. You glad you 59, that's young now, 69 and 79 and 89. And don't talk about don't talk about 3 plus 10. So they leave. And look what Jesus does. Now, I'm getting ready to get to my preaching part. Can I finish this thing real quickly? And they which had heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one, beginning at the eldest, the oldest. Even, in other words, there was some old. Yeah, that too. Whatever you're thinking, that one too. There were some old folk. 3 plus 10 plus 10. Old folk, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. y'all don't see it in here. That's worth shouting. I'm glad Jesus does not have to, he will not leave me. When my friends leave me, Jesus won't leave me. When I don't get a phone after somebody that I love die, everybody comes to the funeral, but a week later, nobody calls me. I'm so glad Jesus still will be there. I'm never alone. Alone, never alone. Says he was standing in the, now remember, when they left, he had stooped, but now he's standing. In verse 10, and the Bible says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. Won't Jesus see sinners? He keeps his eyes on sinners, y'all. I just want to tell you, somebody says when you go in to some nightclub, his angels stay out. No, I don't buy that. I've got a guardian angel. He's with me wherever I go. Because sometimes the only way I'm going to get out is because God is with me on the inside. He may not endorse what I'm doing, but he does not leave me. If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Y'all gonna mess with me today. I ain't going there. I'm trying to finish this thing. But the Spirit, look. So he is there. And then he says unto her, woman, where art thou accusest? To the men, the messed up folk, he said, which one among you, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. But to the sinner, he says, where art your accusers? And then she responds. And then he says, hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Up until this point, she does not recognize who he really is on the inside. She knows his reputation, but now he become her. He becomes her. She doesn't say, Master. He said, Lord. She says, Lord. In other words, you mine. I know they gone, but you mine. I know who you are for myself now. Some things God brings us out of, we meet him while we're in it. Can I get a witness in here? While you were out running around doing what you wanted to, you didn't even know him. But when you got in your mess that you couldn't get yourself out of, grandmama couldn't help you, big mama couldn't help you, your daddy couldn't help you, brother, sister couldn't. But then you meet Jesus and he becomes your Lord and Savior in your stuff. God does not get rid of us because the mess we're in. He desires to get close to us in our mess. For he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, whatever I go through, he feels me. And look what she says. This woman, and I'm getting ready to close. This woman, she says, answers his question, and she speaks. She says, no man, Lord. And Jesus now speaks again to her. And then he affirms who he is, for he says, neither do I. Oh, they brought her to condemn her. But because he becomes her Lord, he does not condemn her. Oh, now I can get ready to close this thing now. Aren't you glad that God doesn't handle us the way other folk handle us? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us like folk that we used to hang up with gave up on us? Do I have anybody in here? Your friends that don't call you anymore, they gave up on you when Jesus stepped in you. She declares, she says, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Now here comes the shouting part. She was caught in the act. She was guilty of the act. Man condemns her. The Savior does not condemn her. And to prove he does not condemn her, he says, okay, I'm your Lord. You go and sin no more. In other words, what he's really telling her is go and don't do this one no more. Because even though he saves her, does not mean she's not a sinner. What it does mean is that even though you sin, because I'm your Savior, where sin abounds, grace doeth much more abound. And sometimes we need to understand, don't you give up on you when you make a mistake. You remember there is an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus, my Christ. What a God we serve. He will forgive. He will forgive you. And that's what I've stopped by to tell somebody this morning. Whatever you've been through, don't you give up on you. If God doesn't give up on you, honey, why are you forgiving up on you? If God loves us that much, why don't we love him more? Does anybody understand what I'm saying today? Yes, I've messed up. Yes, you've messed up. But that does not mean you aren't a child of God. All God's children messed up. Nobody in the church has wings on. Nobody's been translated in this church in this era. Nobody is walking with God and talking with God all day long. We're all sinners, but we're saved by grace. Sure, we ought to obey Jehovah, because our obedience is it talks and tells us we love him. And we don't obey him to get to the kingdom. We get to the kingdom because we love him. Oh, I know I messed up some Adventists this afternoon. And we need to understand that we have not arrived. So what happens? Jesus tells her to go and sin no more. First, he justifies her because he forgave her. Come on, y'all. He made her just the moment she accepted him totally as Lord. That's justification. But look at this. He says, go and sin no more. He said, go and sin no more. Go. That is sanctification. Justification is the moment we accept Jesus Christ. Sanctification is what's happening as we read the word. For the word says we are sanctified through truth. And as we learn truth, God works on us more. And he dips into our hearts and throws stuff out that we've had a long time. Some of it's hereditary. Some of it's because we just learned it. But God is still working on his children. I wished I'd had my sign up still up there. But remember that it's because of his grace. We are saved through his grace by faith. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My brothers and sisters, I've stopped by to tell you this morning that God has worked it out. While you're in it, God is working it out. While you're going through the storm, God is working it out. You think this one is bad? There's another one on the way. You remember Katrina? We've had France. We've got Michael. There's another one on the way. You think it's bad in government now? You don't know what we're going to get in 2 years. But we've got help today. And that help is not in humanity. It's in Jesus the Christ. For he's the way. No other way but Jesus. Can I get a witness? Isn't it about Jesus? When you and I get up in the morning, we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. When you get on the floor and put one foot in front of another, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. If you go to your refrigerator and get something out of your refrigerator, there's somebody that doesn't have food in this country. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. If you got a roof over your head, somebody lost their house this week, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. For you are the way. And one day, very soon, we're going to meet him for ourselves. Oh, yes, I want to see the prophets. I want to see Abraham and John. I want to walk on streets of gold. I ain't never had gold in my life. I just want to walk on. I want to be able to take a piece of that tree with 12 manners of fruit on it that changes every. I want to eat a piece of the fruit. I want to see what it tastes like. I want to see a crystal clear stream. I want to see all that. I want to see the lamb and the lion and the wolf lie down together. I want to see it. But above all that, I want to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and Matthew and John. I want to see them. But there's one that I got to see. I don't know about you. I got to see one. I want to see him. I want to see him. I want to see the one that loved me when I didn't love me. I want to see him who brought me through many dangers and toils and snows. Is there anybody in here? You just want to see him. You want to see him for yourself. I want to put my eyes I just want to see Jesus. That's all. I just want to see Jesus. I want to behold him. I just want to see him. Don't you want to see him? That's who I want to see. I don't know about you all, but I want to see him. If you want to see him today, just stand on your feet. If you really want to see him, don't play. Let everybody else sit down on your row. If you want to see Jesus and meet him in peace, Father, we thank you that you're soon to come. God, we want to see you. You've done all you can for us to be saved. God, we don't want to be lost. We want to see you for ourselves. If we could just look at you, what a day that would be, Master, to see you for ourselves. We want to see our mothers and our fathers and some of our husbands. We want to see our husbands and our wives. But God, if we just see you, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. We can live with you, and hang out with you, and rub shoulders with you, talk to you, and ask you, why did we go through what we went through? And when you finish telling us your story, we will shout and cry out, heaven was cheap enough. What a day that's going to be. We stand before you, acknowledging who you are. Acknowledging the fact, God, we want to see you. Bring it to pass in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Maybe there's some men, women, boys, or girls in the house. The Spirit of the living God has spoken to you. And today, you want to say, preacher, I want to give Christ my all. I want him to be my Lord. If that's your desire, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. You're not a member. You want to become a member of Ephesus and a member of God's children throughout the length and the breadth of this earth. If that's your desire, man, woman, boy, girl, just lift your hand wherever you are. You want to become a part? You want to become a part? 30 seconds, a half a minute. God wants you. He wants us where we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up. God takes us, then he molds us and shapes us and make us what he wants us to become. Don't you want to come? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our worship. God, I thank you for moving and speaking today. Keep us faithful until you shall come. And then, Lord, may we celebrate your coming. May we be in the first resurrection, all of us. In the holy name of Jesus our Christ, let everybody say amen. Say amen. Give God a hand clap in the house. What do you say? He is worthy of our praise. You may be seated.
May we stand once more for the benediction. Dear Lord, in a time where people are talking about blue waves and red waves, we are so grateful for the crimson wave that cleanses. We thank you, Lord, for what our ears